There's a story told of a parish church somewhere in England where it was the tradition to invite a local dignitary to receive the gifts brought by the children at Harvest Festival. In one year, they invited a retired army general. It was always a slightly anxious time, hoping that the children would behave themselves. And on this particular occasion, they all handed over their harvest gifts with great dignity and decorum, all except Vivienne, who was 5. And Vivienne was a bit like God. She was no respecter of men. And when her moment came, she skipped forward, thrust her bunch of flowers into the general's hands, and shouted at him, "Now just you mind those, they're wet." Well, children can puncture our self-importance and cut us down to size. Children can be great levelers, and so too is harvest. At harvest, we are taught that though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Those are words we shall be saying in a little while in our communion service. And we're claiming that Christians who gather round a communion table to receive bread and wine share a common life. And that, of course, is quite right. But it's not only Christians who are one body. The whole human race, the one human family, is one body. And what unites us, what makes us one, is our need for bread. The bread in different places may take different forms. It may be a plate of beans or a bowl of rice, but it is still bread. Bread that by which we are filled and exist, and bread without which we cease to be. And all of us are united by our shared hunger and by the bread which satisfies us. Shared bread and shared hunger abolish every distinction by which we divide humanity. The general needs his next meal as much as little Vivienne, and much good will all his medals and red tabs do him if he doesn't get it. In Tolstoy's famous novel, Anna Karenina, there's a great harvest story. Tolstoy describes how the rich landowner, Levin, joins in the annual haymaking on his estate. He goes out into the fields where the peasants are working. They are his serfs, his personal property. And Levin takes off his shirt, picks up a scythe, steps into line between two of the men, and with them and in time with them, he begins to cut the hay. From dawn till dusk, he works with them, harvesting the hay, and they no longer notice how strange it is that someone so exalted should be harvesting the hay with them. And at the end of one row, Tolstoy tells us that an old man next to Levin stops to clean his scythe, and then the old man takes his tin dipper, dips it into the stream there at the edge of the field, and offers Levin a drink. And Tolstoy says this: truly, Levin had never tasted any drink so good as this warm water with bits of grass floating in it, and with its rusty flavor from the tin dipper. That harvest was for Levin a leveling experience. And so is every Christian celebration of harvest. At harvest, we rediscover our common humanity, all our hierarchies, professional, ecclesiastical, military, and all the others, all those pecking orders by which we set such store, cease to exist. We are, all of us, hungry people begging for bread. And it's interesting, I think, that when Jesus' disciples asked him to teach them how to pray, Jesus said, when you pray, say, give us this day our daily bread. We need to stress one word in that bidding prayer: give us this day our daily bread. Not give me, but give us. And this us is all-embracing. It's not only the us who find our way to churches and eat holy bread from a holy table. Rather, it is the us who survive by ordinary bread, and the us who, through lack of bread, sometimes fail to survive. Harvest is quite literally and metaphorically something which brings us down to earth. May God bless us on this day of Harvest Festival, as we seek to share in word and in deed in the common humanity of all God's people. Amen.